Hey, it's Melvin. If you're a therapist who's been wanting and feeling a quiet pull toward either podcasting, YouTube, online courses, writing, or speaking, I wanted to gently invite you into our new community called Haven. Haven is for therapists who want to build online income in a way that feels calm, supported, and sustainable. You'll be placed into a small pod of 5 to 7 other therapists who are at a similar stage, so you're never doing this alone. And each quarter, we host live hands-on accelerators where the focus isn't on more noise, it's simply on helping you get meaningful work done. You'll also have weekly work sessions, monthly coaching calls, and steady support from our team, all in a very real life-friendly rhythm. Haven is $497 per quarter or $1,497 for the year. You can learn more at sellingthecouch.com/Haven. Hello, hello. Welcome to session 54 of Selling the Couch. So I have a confession to make. I had actually recorded this episode earlier this morning, but trying to pack in 30 minutes worth of content to talk about this topic we're going to talk about was way too much. So I decided to break it down into 2 podcast episodes so that we could go a little bit deeper into each of these different components and what this entails. So the topic we're going to be talking about today is how to actually create an e-course. If you don't know, a few months ago, I launched the Healthcasters, which is a podcasting community and course for mind, body, health, and wellness experts. And part of it is I have a community and part of it is I have an e-course. I definitely made a ton of mistakes. We're going to talk about how to research and plan your course, and then we'll go into and wrap up with recording your course and some of the gear that I used for the Healthcasters course. Now, before we get started, just in general, I was doing research and I found out that the self-improvement industry here in the US is a $10 to $11 billion industry per year. And you probably know this, but this whole e-course learning industry is really taking off. In fact, I came across this article in Forbes that said it is now a $105 billion industry, the e-course industry, per year in the US. So there's a lot of money, but at a more realistic level, there is a lot of people that are interested in knowledge and willing to pay for that knowledge. Now, put all that together, there's a society that really craves self-improvement, and then there's a society that craves e-courses. Before we get started, the one thing that I want to tell you is you're a good teacher. Inevitably, all of us in our training, we have gained some sort of expertise. And part of what we do as clinicians is often in that moment take very complex matters of the heart and the mind, and we break it down into simple language that people can learn. That is a skill that not everyone has, and it's a great skill if you are a teacher and want to create your own course. I really believe this, that each one of us has at least one e-course within them. And I encourage you to take these couple of sessions and just think about some of the ways that you can start to really own that and just make that a reality of creating your own e-course. So today, the first topic is, how do you actually go about planning and researching your course? Now, I would just say taking the time to research and plan is probably the most important, but often the most neglected step of launching any kind of a product online, like an e-course. You have seen this, I have seen this, where folks put all of this time and energy into creating an e-course, and then it's crickets when they go and sell it. Why did it not work out? I'm sure there's any number of factors, but what I'm going to share in this section is some things that I hope will help you to actually sell your course and actually convert it into buyers. So I always start, when I'm creating any type of a new product or thinking about new content for the blog, I always start with this very basic exercise. So I'll go over it real quick, and then I encourage you to pause this podcast and then do the exercise. because I'm all about actually taking action. So what you want to do is take a blank sheet of paper. You want to flip it over so that it's in landscape mode. I call this the blank paper three column exercise. I know it's really technical, but anyway, what you want to do is you want to fold it so that there's three columns facing. So you want it in landscape mode and then three columns. And you want to label the columns. The first column that you want to say is areas that I have expertise in. The second column is areas that I'm passionate about. And the third column is areas where there is demand. Now, I want you to take each of those sections and spend a few minutes. It can be anything related to mental health, anything outside of mental health. Just break down and fill out each of those sections. Areas that you have expertise in, the areas that you have passion for. That's an area that I really like and I feel is so important to teaching an e-course, because if you're not passionate about a topic, that's going to come through. So inevitably on those first two sections, you will probably have some overlap. That's a good thing because that means that you have expertise and you're passionate about that topic, which means you have the elements of being a good teacher. Now, you can also ask a trusted friend, or if you have like a mastermind group, or if you have a significant other, you can ask them what they see as your areas of expertise and the things that you're passionate about if you're feeling stuck. Now, once I do this exercise, what I usually do is I head over to Amazon.com. Now, I like to use Amazon as almost an encyclopedia where I'm trying to figure out where the data points are and what's more popular and what's not. So what I do is I head to Amazon and I just use that search bar and I type in the different keywords that I did on my exercise. And so I see what kind of books pop up. And what I'm specifically looking for is large number of books that are popping up pertaining to a topic. I'm also looking for a fair number of reviews. So I would say try to aim for at least 50. If you can get into the hundreds, that's optimal as well. And then what I also do is if you click on any individual book and you click the reviews, I go and click the reviews and then I scroll all the way down to the 1-star and the 2-star reviews. Because for me, when I read those reviews, those are the areas where people have some kind of frustration with that book. But what that means for me is those are potential topics that I could put in my e-course. The other thing I also do is I sort by the most popular books that are on that particular topic. So let's say it's something like relationships. I know that's a pretty broad topic, but let's see what the most popular books are. I open it up, I go to the title page, and I look at the different chapters of that book. And now that gives me some potential, at least a springboard for some of the topics that I could use for my e-course. Now, please don't plagiarize a copy. I know that you guys are way more smarter than that, but use that as kind of a springboard. See what topics keep coming up in multiple books. And what that usually means is a lot of these bigger companies, if an author has published a book, they've likely gone through some kind of a publisher. The publisher has spent time and research trying to figure out, hey, these are probably topics that are important. And so those chapters are pertaining to those topics. The other thing that I do is once I'm done with the Amazon search, I do a second kind of questionnaire and I ask a couple of questions to myself. The first one is, who is actually going to consume this course? The next one is, where will they consume this content? So are they going to consume it on some kind of a commute? Are they consuming it while they have some time, you know, during watching their kids play on the playground? Where are they consuming it? And then how do they like the content consumed? Do they like slides? Do they like checklists? Or maybe they like it in video form or audio, or maybe it's a combination. And then I ask myself, what are the pain points or the points that your course relieves? So once I've taken the time to research and plan my course, the next thing I do is I try to find where the audience is that's going to consume that course. Now, usually what I do is I start with an online search. Facebook is usually where I go. Facebook has groups for everything. So if you just log into your Facebook account, go to the very top, there's a search bar there. Type in some of those keywords that we came up with in our three-column blank paper exercise and see what kind of groups pop up. What I'm generally looking for is groups with a fairly large size, but just because it's a group that's large is not sufficient enough for me. What I do is I do a quick peek inside the group and look to see their level of activity. Is it a highly engaged group? And then what I also see is sometimes on the group description, they'll say something about promotional days. So I see if there are days to promote any kind of content. So that is helpful down the line when you're ready to release your course or when you're ready to get more research on it. You can then ask people in that group on that day, you can share your course with them and not be in violation of any rules or anything like that. Now, what I then do is I just join the group and then I engage in conversation. This is the hardest and the easiest part of building any kind of your e-course. It takes time for people to know and like and trust you. I don't have to tell you this. We, as clinicians, when we see clients, there's inevitably an amount of time, X number of sessions where our client starts to feel comfortable. It's the same thing with a Facebook group. If you go into a Facebook group and all you do is, hey, I've got this e-course coming out, please come buy it. No one's going to know who you are. And all they're going to do is likely ignore you, or if you're violating some sort of rule, you'll get kicked out of the group. Instead, provide real value. Look at the conversations that are happening in the group. Notice the patterns that keep coming up, the same topics. That will give you a clue into potential other topics for your course. And then if you know the answer, jump in and join the conversation. People will trust you when you answer them and you help them first. You know, this usually takes weeks, sometimes even months. But at some point, you want to say, hey, you know, you just want to make some sort of post like, hey guys, you know, I've been active in this group for some time and I've been thinking about creating this e-course and it would be on such and such topic. Then what you want to do is you can have the answers in the Facebook group. What I do is I use lead pages and then I use Aweber, which is my email service provider. So this is something that I did for the Healthcasters course. So my question was, what are the two biggest things that you're struggling with when it comes to podcasting? And so I got a good number of responses. I don't remember offhand, but I think it was something around 50-something responses. And so that was really helpful for me to create content because at that time, I had been podcasting for a couple of months, but I wanted to create a course that was very easy to understand. Now, one of the other common struggles that may come up at this point is you may be wondering, oh my gosh, there's already an existing course out there that's pertaining to this topic. I want to tell you that's not a bad thing. All that means is there's actually some kind of demand for that course. So what you want to do is you want to figure out what is your unique perspective or what is your unique value that you're adding with your course. So maybe the existing course is PDF slides, or maybe it's a general course. And what you're going to do is you're going to take a topic like, let's just say we're doing the relationship one. So what you do is relationships for busy female entrepreneurs or something like that. Just thinking off the top of my head. One thing I've mentioned before, the riches will always be in the niches. And so that's why I like to niche down with my course. So really you want to have a specific course on a specific topic, usually trying to get maybe even to a specific population as opposed to a general broad topic. I wanted to take also just a step back, and I forgot to mention this earlier, but one of the other areas that you can start to look for of where courses exist is a couple of different sites. I like to look at Creative Live, and I also like to look at Udemy. That's the letter U, and then D-E-M-Y. And what I do is I type in those keywords and see what courses are coming up. I take a peek inside the courses, and I like just to get an idea of what they're topics are, and then I try to figure out where the gaps are. Basically, what we're doing is we're planning things out. We are then trying to figure out what topics are the most popular by doing Amazon. And by doing all of these things together, you have a much higher chance of creating a course that's actually going to do well. Now, the third topic that I wanted to talk about was how do you actually go about recording your course? The biggest lesson that I learned in this whole process is to keep it very simple. As this e-course industry has grown, there are software and programs and all sorts of things to help you, and it becomes kind of overwhelming. I'll just share the things that I used. I encourage you to do your own research, but I will just share the things that I used. So all you need is a laptop or a desktop. So I have a MacBook Pro. You don't need a MacBook Pro, just some sort of a laptop or a desktop. I highly recommend getting a mic. Because if you're going to be doing a lot of screen shares, meaning that you're using something like Keynote or PowerPoint and you're sharing screenshots, slides, and then you're talking, you want to have a nice quality mic. There's something powerful when people connect with our voices. And I just think if you have a lower quality mic, people, I think, are turned off by that. That's at least been my experience. The mic I use is my podcasting mic that I use also for my e-course. It's the Audio-Technica ATR2100 USB. You can get it on Amazon for around $60. A lot of times it does come on sale, so you can get a really good price on it. All I simply do is I hook this mic up to my laptop and I am good as far as recording. The Blue Yeti is also a common one that's used for a lot of webinars and e-courses. I actually bought Blue Yeti on the recommendation of some folks and some friends. I don't know if this was just because of the sound of my room, but I was getting a lot of echo with the Blue Yeti. And so I ended up using my Audio-Technica and I found that to be a much better quality. The Audio-Technica is also about half the price of the Blue Yeti. You also want some sort of a camera. I'm using the Logitech C920. The Logitech C930 just came out. It's around $50 to $60 on Amazon as well. And then you want to just have either Keynote or PowerPoint. Keynote if you're a Mac user, PowerPoint if you're a Windows user. That lets you create slides for your e-course. And then the final thing is you want to have some sort of screen capture software. So if you are on a Mac, you want to look at a program called ScreenFlow. And if you're on a Windows machine, you want to look at a program called Camtasia. And what that basically lets you do is if you have, for example, you create some slides, or let's say, like for my podcasting course, for example, there's a video that I show how to actually edit a podcast. So what I'm doing is I'm going in a program and I'm recording what's happening on my screen. And so the screen capture software lets you record what's happening on your screen. And then you can also talk and narrate at the same time. It's a really cool piece of software. So again, that's Camtasia if you're on a Windows computer, or ScreenFlow if you are on a Mac computer. And at that point, you are ready to record your e-course. Now, how do you figure out what exactly the length of your course should be? I wish I could give you an easy answer to this. The short answer is, from what I've learned, is it really depends. I've seen courses as short as like 5 to 6 lessons that are about 10 to 12 minutes each lesson, all the way to courses that are, you know, 20, 30 lessons. I think it depends on the topic that you want to address. For me, for the Healthcasters, I started out by doing 12, 15-minute videos, but I realized podcasting is pretty technical, and I realized that there are some things that maybe folks want to watch, just watch that instead of sitting through a 15-minute video. So what I ended up doing was I created 3 short, ended up being about 30 videos, but they were short 3 to 8 minute videos. I recorded these over just 1 week. It didn't take as long as it sounds. As long as you can be planful, you should be fine. Part of it is just trying to figure out what the length of it, and then also try to figure out what sort of other content you want to have as well. In the next episode, I'll go more into actually how do you distribute your course. That's a whole other topic that's going to take like 10 or 15 minutes, and I feel like we're already at the 22-minute mark. So we'll go into that. And then the next podcast episode, we'll also go into what kind of options there are to accept payments. My whole thing with distributing, accepting payments is to try to make it as automated as possible. And then we'll go into pricing strategies. So how do you actually price your course? What are the best practices? And I'll share what I've learned along the way. And then we'll wrap up with some of the mistakes that I made. And in hindsight, I wish I had done this at that moment. I think it would have helped a lot more. So just to share some of my stats, As you guys know, I believe in full transparency. So during what I did was when I released my course, I did a pre-sale for 10 days. So I sold it at $327 for 10 days, and then I bumped it up to the normal price. Right now it's $497. If you're listening to this way in the future, there's likely chance that it's increased. But all that to say, during those 10 days, I'm looking at my lead pages, I had 297 people that expressed interest in the course. So they actually went to the sales page, and that led to 1,452 page views. So there were folks that were really interested that were looking at the sales page multiple times. What I did was, when I created the Healthcasters, I just followed the rubric that I outlined in this podcast session that helped me to find a topic, I think, that resonated with a lot of people. The other thing that I would say as a clinician, think about some of the conversations that are happening in your sessions. Notice the topics that keep coming up and see if you can develop it into an e-course. Now, as a clinician, of course, you want to, definitely not an attorney, and you want to consult with your attorney, but you want to be clear that it's a psychoeducational course. You want to make sure that it's not a substitute for being seen by a professional counselor, and you want to include both of those things. Again, speak with an attorney with regard to more of the legal stuff, but those are two of the minimum things that you should include. So hope you enjoyed this conversation, and let us know if you're creating an e-course. I'm more than happy to serve you, more than happy to answer any questions that I've learned along the way. My hope is that you avoid a lot of the mistakes that I've made, and you start to create your e-course and start to think of it as an alternative or another channel of income for you.
Hey there, thank you so much for tuning in to today's session. Just wanted to also let you know that we have a free email newsletter that goes out every week. You can download it over at sellingthecouch.com/newsletter. Basically, that newsletter contains some of the stuff that's happening behind the scenes with STC and also with my life and how I'm balancing and trying to balance being both an entrepreneur as well as building a life around my family and my health as well. And it also contains the latest podcast episode and some of the stuff that I'm doing on LinkedIn, some of the strategies and things that are working for me. And then finally, a brand new section called On Mel's Mind, where I take a video or a book or a blog post or something like that that's inspiring me for that week, and I share how I'm implementing it both in my life and in my business. Again, you can download that over at sellingthecouch.com/newsletter. And if you are one of the 3,700 colleagues that have been a part of the email newsletter, I so appreciate you, and I'm grateful for your support. We genuinely try to make these helpful, and just based on the data and based on the feedback we're getting, it seems like we're doing a really good job. So appreciate you, and I hope that you have a great day.